We are continuing with our self-portrait series, where we take a look at some of the pictures that the Bible has of the church. The Bible, the scriptures use imagery to describe the church. We're looking at some of those imagery, kind of taken looking at these self-portraits, at these pictures of ourselves, because when you get a real good self-portrait done, sometimes it's surprising. Like, have you ever gone and gotten a caricature done? You know, where they exaggerate your facial features, it still looks like you. You can still recognize it as you, but you think, is my chin really that big? Why do my ears stick out so much? And so sometimes these self-portraits are helpful. They help us see what God intends from His church, and hopefully to see where we are and what we are like. To start off, I'm going to ask, how do you feel this week? How do you feel today? Feeling pretty good? I ask because Thanksgiving can be rough on the body. it can really take you out. I went to high school in Colorado Springs, and our sports division actually started the basketball season a little bit earlier than they do here. And so we were well into our basketball season by the time Thanksgiving rolled around. It was like our third or fourth week of actual basketball competition. And I remember one year, very specifically, our coach said, guys, we have a long break over Thanksgiving, and we have a Monday night game, which means we don't have practice time between when I think we got off like Tuesday or Wednesday. You know, Tuesday was our last day of school, our last day of practice. We don't have practice time between Tuesday and Monday. And he said, guys, you have to run. You have to run over Thanksgiving break because we don't have any practice. So I would love if you went to the gym and shot and did some drills and stuff, but you at least have to run over Thanksgiving. We're like, yes, sir, coach, we'll do that. Yes, we'll do that. But see, what happened is, oh, man, Thanksgiving. You know, Thanksgiving itself, Thursday, of course, you're just eating. You're not going to run on Thursday. Friday is recovery. You're not going to run on Friday. Well, Sunday was church. Why would I run on Sunday? So, but I have no excuse for Saturday and Wednesday, I guess. But I know I didn't run. I know my brother didn't run, but it didn't matter because, see, we were playing a team that hadn't won a basketball game in 4 years. Not only had they not had winning seasons, they hadn't won a basketball game in 4 years, so no big deal, you know. We get to the game. It was an away game. It was at their building. We get to the game, and they had the lead at halftime. This team that has not won a basketball game in 4 years. My coach was so mad that he actually broke his clipboard at halftime. It's like, you guys were supposed to run! And he was so mad he broke his clipboard at halftime. This is why you were supposed to run! These guys are outrunning you. My team was not super skilled at basketball. We had some good players, but our edge was that we ran. During practices, we ran and ran and ran and ran and ran. We ran. Usually, we outran teams. We just kept moving until they wore out, and then we could make baskets. But because we hadn't run over Thanksgiving break, guess what happens? There goes our advantage. Our one real good solid advantage that we have was disappeared. And coach was furious. He's like, you better suck it up and get out there and win. Come on, this is run. So we went out there, and we played our hearts out. And we lost. If you were a fan of the other team, it was probably one of the most amazing moments in that school history. That gym was electric. They were so excited, but we were on the opposing bench. They knew it. They could sense it midway through the fourth quarter that they were finally going to win their first game in 4 years, and it was intense. And we couldn't stop it because we didn't run. No matter how much we tried, no matter how much our coach broke things and got mad at us, we just could not force our bodies to keep up after all of that turkey. We just couldn't do it. Actually, it wasn't the turkey. It was because we came into the game bloated and lazy. We just weren't up to the task. Today we're going to look at a picture that we should be familiar with. In fact, it's one of the ones, if last week was one that I was unfamiliar with and didn't feel comfortable about talking about, this is one that is more in my ballpark. The Bible tells us that we as believers are like a body. Let's go to Ephesians to start. Hopefully not like my basketball team's bloated and lazy bodies. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to pick this up in verse 22. Paul is talking about some of the awesomeness of the work of Christ and God's resurrection from the dead and some of the awesomeness in that work. And then after the resurrection, he's talking about what Christ's position is. It says, "And he, God, put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Very clear that it says the church, which is his body, and that he is the head of it. See, we are the body of Christ. This image is about, when we get into it, we'll see this image is about community and ministry. Last week's image, the bride, was about identity. And this image has a structure to it, like how the body has a structure. It's a very simple structure. This is how it works. Christ is the head. We are the body. The head is the one in control. He is the source. He is the boss of the body. He is the one in charge. It's a pretty simple, in this case, it's a fairly easy imagery to grasp hold of, I think. Jesus said the same sort of thing using a different image in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. Jesus says that he is the vine and we are the branches. He is the source of life, the source of what happens. So he's the vine, we are the branches. He's the root, the main part, we're the accessories. He is the head, we are the body. We are the body, we do what the head intends. It's very, once again, it's when you're working with images, you have to be careful to use the images in the way that they are intended, and hopefully I do this. I talked to one person one time who was who had kind of run with this idea and had gone really weird off of it, and he said that we are, that in the relationship of people to God, that we were kind of like God's tentacles. We're God's tentacles, that we don't really have much of a role ourselves. We are just fingers of the Godhead that are out there moving. And he tried to use the imagery of the body, but he moved it a little far beyond to where God was, the puppet master, that none of my work involved. There was none of my identity. We were just the tentacles of God. That he even went so far as to reduce the headship of God, that Jesus wasn't the head, that there was more kind of like a blob, a non-entity. He had gone way off the deep end on this. So we have to be careful to use the imagery and the way as it is intended. And in Ephesians it says, Jesus is the head of the body, and we are his body. The church is his body. So let's start right there. The point of this, he is the head, and he is the boss. We're going to look at three more scriptures. We're actually going to read a lot today, because these expand on the idea. Let's start with the last one, just because we're already in Ephesians. We'll go to chapter 4. Verses 1 through 16. Paul says, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions to earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Similarly, in Romans chapter 12. And start in verse 4. Again, the Apostle Paul says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, if the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." And then we'll move to the most famous of the body references in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it's along the same lines as the book of Romans. In chapter 12, we're going to pick up in verse 12. It says, "For just as the body is one, has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chooses. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles and gifts of healing, helping, administration of various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the higher gifts." And he continues on. Paul continues on talking about this, how the body works together. And he starts in chapter 13 speaking of love. That is the most important thing a body can do. And then moves on in chapter 14 dealing with how to minister and use the gifts in the church. All these scriptures here are about the work, doing the work of the body, the work of the head. And honestly, this one I've referenced a few times. We've talked about this a couple times here in church. So I want to go a slightly different tack. We're still talking about the truth that we are the body, but I want to start somewhere else, somewhere where I don't normally start, because I know that sometimes bodies can be broken. Sometimes bodies don't work quite right. Sometimes bodies have injuries and problems. And even the spiritual life of the body of Christ can be broken. And based on what we read about the body in these four scriptures, two in Ephesians, one in Romans, and one in Corinthians, we can learn about what a broken body is because it's what a healthy body is not. So let's look at some of them. What I think a broken body, a broken spiritual body looks like. A broken spiritual body is going solo. We are a part of the body and cannot function alone. As Paul says, an eye can't say to the body, I have no need of you. If the whole body were an eye, where would the body be? A commentator on this, F.F. Bruce, said, if a body that is entirely an eye is a monstrosity. We can't go around running around like Thing from the Addams Family just on our own. It doesn't work. It's a monstrosity. It's something that's not quite right. And so going solo, I think, is a body disease. It's a disease of the spiritual life. Oh, man, we need to be connected to the rest of the body of Christ. Amen. We need to be connected to the rest of the body of Christ. We need to. Our bodies are not like... There's some animals that are weird. You can cut them into pieces and the pieces still function and grow. I think like starfish are supposed to be that way. As long as they're cut a correct way, the pieces grow into other animals. And worms sometimes are supposed to do that. You cut a worm in half, you get two worms or something. I don't know. There are animals that do that. Maybe my biology is all wrong and I'm in science fiction world. But there are animals that seem to function that way. The body of Christ doesn't. We can't live out separated and be healthy by that. We can't do that. Going solo, I think, is a brokenness. It is a spiritual disease, and it can be a monstrosity, especially when there are people who try to minister solo. And I've run across this. I haven't been around on this earth very long, but in my short time, I've run across people who have their own ministries and have no, they're not connected to the body. They have their own ministries and go around to minister to other people and they have no connection to the greater body. They're trying to minister as a hand by itself, as an eyeball by itself, and invariably those are monstrosities. They lead to pain and destruction. We need to be connected to the body. Going alone just doesn't work. We cannot function alone. Oh, man. How healthy it is to be connected to the body of Christ. Yeah. Another disease that I find in looking at these is calling useless. It says the body cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Right? We cannot say to the members of the body of Christ, oh, we don't need you. Our church is fine. We have no need of you. We have no need of your gifts. We have no need of your ministry. We have no need of your presence. We have no need of your encouragement. We have no need of you. We can't just call others useless. We can't decide that they are not a part. That is up to the head. Now, there is a place in the church for discipline. There is a place for the church. A healthy body does not allow cancers to exist, and it does not allow foreign bodies to invade. Right? We don't like those things. But a healthy body also does not just shed off its fingers just because it doesn't want them. Neither can we as a church call others in our body useless. We can't say, I have no need of you, because we're fine as we are. We are the eyeball church, and everyone in our church is just, all we do is we do this one thing, so we have no need of you. That's a foolish thing. And once again, I have run across groups that function that way. See, our church is all about, I'm just eeny, meeny, miny. Our church is all about prophecy, and that's all we do. All we do is prophesy. We have no need of you, administrative person. You know what? You know what's going to happen? That church is going to run out of money. That's what's going to happen. You know? We just can't carte blanche say and shed off fingers and say to others that you are useless. Because a body that removes parts of itself, a body that beats itself up in this sort of way, is no good. It's a broken body. I think another way that bodies are broken is to be inactive. That would be a body that doesn't want to do anything. This is not a rebellion. This is a laziness. This is you know this. This one you know because everyone has done this. You've had that morning when you get the alarm clock goes off and it goes beep 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 and you think I gotta get up. Nope. not gonna do it. And it's not necessarily a rebellion. It's just a laziness. It's just I just kind of don't feel like it. It could be because I don't want to. It could be because the body is out of shape. And a spiritual body, a church that is inactive, just one that doesn't do anything, that we just remain where we are and never make any actions to do the work of that the head is telling us to do, to never make any actions to go forward, is a lazy body. And it is a broken thing. And that's bad. But that's not as bad as being unsubmissive. Because one of the main points, there are three main things that we see when we look at the body images. One is that Jesus is the head. That's one of the main things. Another one is that we all have a role to play. And then another main thing is that we are all in this together. Those three themes show up when we talk about the body of Christ. And so we have to be submissive to the head. We have to, as the body. We have to do what the head says. He's the boss. It is a monstrosity, like I said, for an eyeball to be on its own. It's also a spiritual monstrosity for a church to walk without Christ. It's a headless horseman of a church. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. We can't walk around like this. Listen, there is such awesome power in the body, in community, and working together that sometimes people miss some of the point. They start to say that they start to notice that getting together and the encouragement of the group and the body is a fantastic thing, and they start to forget about God. And they start to forget that Jesus is the head of this. The body can be so awesome that if it is not careful, sometimes it decides that the body itself is life and not that life comes from the head. And starts to cut off the head and walk around without the head, and we have churches walking around without Jesus. And it's a broken body. It's a broken thing. That's not right. It's a spiritual monstrosity. That's one way to be unsubmissive, is just to abandon Christ, to walk around without him. Another way we can be unsubmissive is if we don't respond. The head issues an order and the body doesn't respond. Just yesterday, I was reading on a chair in my office, and I had my feet up on the desk, and I don't know how this happened, but unbeknownst to me, my left leg fell asleep, like most of my left leg, almost all of it. So I got up and went to go walk, and oh man, it's just... this leg wouldn't work. It wouldn't do what I said, go walk. And this leg goes like that. It just doesn't happen. And there, because there's that moment when it goes to sleep, right? Before the pins and needles start and before it starts to hurt, there's that moment where it's just gone. You might as well not have a leg. It's just not responding to you at all. That is another way to be unsubmissive, where God says, church, I need you to do this. Let's go accomplish this mission. Let's go work this way. Let's do this. And the church just says, no. Not the laziness which is the result of an out-of-shape body, but a rebellion. A rebellion that just says, no, I don't want to. I'm not going to. I wanted to do some things when my leg fell asleep and my body just didn't respond. In fact, I thought about my quarterback, Peyton Manning. And football people already know where this is going. My team benched the future Hall of Fame quarterback, Peyton Manning. They benched him two weekends ago because he was playing terrible. He threw 5 interceptions in not even a complete game. They benched him before the game was over. He threw 5 interceptions in the game. And Peyton Manning, I think, is hopefully history will redeem him. Some people think he's one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play. And his advantage is that he's smart. He knows what's going on. He probably knows the defense better than a lot of the defensive playing against him know. He knows, oh, you're going to do this. And he's very, very smart, and he knows what to do. But this year, apparently, his brain is still there and is still working. He's got to figure it out, but his body has completely rebelled against him. He's in his late 30s, which is basically a senior citizen for the NFL. He's in his late 30s, and this year, it just didn't. He has a tear in his in the fascia on his foot that's not healing. He has some rib issues that aren't healing. He's got some shoulder issues that aren't healing. And maybe when he was like fresh out of college, you know, you give yourself a week, walk around with a boot, and I'm fine the next week. You know, I'm good. But no, it's not happening anymore. And you can see these moments in the games before he got benched where he would go back and he's got, he tries. It's just his body just does not respond. It just doesn't work anymore. His body fell apart. His body just doesn't respond. And I wonder if this is how Jesus feels about his body sometimes. That it just doesn't do what he wants it to. Like it's aging or out of shape or diseased. And Jesus says, Peyton Manning goes back and says, oh, I know what I have to do. I have to put the football over there. My guy's going to be open. And he's, and the body just doesn't do that. And Jesus says, oh, I know what I have to do. There is ministry to be done. There is work to be done. Okay, church, let's do this. And the church just, it doesn't happen. Because it's broken. Because it's broken. Now, broken bodies are not the point. They're not the point. In fact, the broken bodies are not necessarily what's even pictured when we look at the self-portraits in the scriptures. Because this picture that we look at is about the healthy calling we have, the healthy bodies. A broken body is one thing, but a healthy body is something amazing. And as we think about it, healthy bodies do incredible things, do wonderful things. I mean, think about our body itself. Digestion is a fantastic thing. It takes food and turns it into energy. I've heard it said that if we could digest gasoline, like our cars do, our cars take gasoline and turn it into energy. If we could, our bodies are efficient enough at the process of pulling energy out of food. If we could digest gasoline, we could run off a teaspoon a day. Wow. Our bodies are incredible. The whole chewing and pulling nutrients out of food in our stomach and stuff, it's just great. It's amazing. The disease protection that happens. All the stuff, we complain about getting sick and stuff, but man, there's a lot of stuff that never even gets past our body's defenses. The circulatory system, all these, a healthy body is a wonderful thing. And beyond that, I think about a healthy body, let's contrast Peyton Manning, a healthy body in sporting achievements. The Olympians that are going to be competing this summer do incredible things. Their bodies are, I can't imagine. I can't imagine what it's like to think, I want my body to jump up there, flip around 8 times in the air, and land right here. And it does it. You know? I want my body to swim there and back in under 12 seconds, and it does it. You know? A healthy body is an amazing thing. And a healthy spiritual body does amazing things too. A healthy spiritual body actually grows together. This is one of the most fascinating things about physical bodies is the fact that they actually grow. The fact that they actually grow is... it's just amazing. I mean, we all know we start from single cells, but even by the time we see babies, eventually this little thing turns into a full-size person. And the spiritual body itself also grows together as well. Ephesians 4, where we read about Paul talking about the body ministering to each other, says, until we all reach maturity. Until we all reach maturity, we get to grow together. We grow up and we mature spiritually together. A healthy body grows together and it works together. We have roles that we play. We work together to help each other mature. He says in Ephesians 4, he says, let me get the right thing. What? It should be. I missed one. We work together. We have roles that we play. And to help each other towards maturity. He says that some were given to be apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some teachers, to equip the body for works of service. We all have roles to play to help us get this job done. We all work together toward the same goal. Just a little comment here. I think that these, that those, that if you look in the list, he gave some to be pastors and teachers, prophets, ministers, and I should look at it. But you look at that list and you say, and then it says, and that their job is to equip the people to do the work of God. A couple comments. First of all, everybody does the work of God. It's not the role of just the people with the titles. And secondly, I think my comment is I think that these titles also teach each other. So it's not just one person teaching everybody. It's we teach each other, we encourage each other, we help each other out. So I have as much to learn as anybody in the church, even though I get to stand up and talk every week. The body works together. The body also protects. If we followed Paul's teaching in Corinthians, right after we finished, he goes on to talk about the actual work of the body. But the very first thing he talks about is love. And at the end of his wonderful description of love, he says, "Love always protects. It always trusts, it always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. It always protects." And there is protection to be found in the body. A healthy body is good at protecting from disease. It can keep things out. We've got skin and immune systems and all these fantastic things that help protect our body from disease. And a healthy church body, a healthy spiritual body, helps protect each other, protect us from a bad doctrine. He says, so that you will grow up and be mature in Ephesians, not tossed about by every wave of doctrine that comes by. It is the body that helps protect us from that doctrine, from those bad things. It is the body that helps protect us from sin going rampant as we work together to conquer that stuff. It is the body that protects us, that keeps us as individuals spiritually healthy. And a healthy body accomplishes things. To do the ministry, and we do the work of God. This one is implied, right? To equip others to do the work of God. The implication is that we actually do it, and actually do the work of God. A healthy body does the work of God. The healthy spiritual body is a wonderful thing. I pray all the time, that we would be a healthy church, that we would be a healthy body. Of all the things we can pray about, I think this is one of the most important things, that we together can have some spiritual health. Can you imagine the awesomeness of a healthy church? A place to grow and mature, a place to work and belong and be a part, a place to encourage and be encouraged. A healthy body is a fantastic thing. So we are working in this church to be a healthy body, and that involves all of us. But sometimes I don't think we do that. And I just want to address one thing, because I think sometimes we have a problem with, I'm going to call it body image. There's an issue that we use this phrase for in the psychological world. They call it body image, where just a person just is not satisfied with their physical body. It predominantly they address it in teenage girl world, but it there's a lot of people involved. They say they have a bad body image, that they just don't like the body that they are in. They don't like the body that they are in. Some, I think, have a spiritual body issue. A spiritual body image problem. And I think this is, it goes like this. I think having an issue that I don't like the church that I'm in, that's a different issue. I'm not actually going to address that one. The one I'm going to address is a poor body image that says, I don't have anything to contribute. I don't have anything to add. I don't have any skills. Other people have got like music skills and praying skills and nunchuck skills, and I don't have any skills, and I don't have anything to add to the body of Christ. I don't have anything to add to it. I can't contribute. And so we may think in our body image that we are the lame leg. We are the one that is dragging everyone behind. We are the one holding everyone back, that we are the weak link. But that's not what Scripture teaches. In fact, did you see how much Paul encouraged the unnoble parts of the body in Corinthians? He said, the parts that we deem less noble, oh, they're more noble than all. The parts that we think aren't necessary, they are necessary. They are necessary. I would say take encouragement from the tailbone and the appendix. Two things that at one point people used to think were not necessary in our bodies. That the tailbone was just a vestige of evolution. It was just left over from back in the days when we were monkeys and had tails, and that's all it needed. But we come to find out that no, the tailbone is pretty effective in good posture. It's really important to help us keep our backs straight and strong. The tailbone is necessary. People used to think the appendix was unnecessary too. That's why we can remove it. You know, take it out, no harm done. We come to find out that the appendix is actually very important in immune responses, especially early in life. So later on in life, you can take it out and your body can adapt for it. But especially early in life, the appendix actually plays a vital role in immune response. You may think that you're just the one dragging along, that you're just the tailbone in the body or the appendix, and if they cut you out, that nobody would miss you. No, no, you are a valuable part. You are, I would say this, if you are a part of the body of Christ, you are useful. You have a role to play. It may not be the same role as others. In fact, it's better if it's not. It's better if it's not the same role as others. Two legs are fine and healthy, but four is not. You know, we need a variety in the body. We need variety in the church. And so you are useful. Even if you think, I am the one dragging us down, I have no role to play in this church. No, you do. You do. You do. You are useful and you are valuable. The body can't function at its best without you. It just can't do it. It just can't do it. So be a part. The body is where you belong. Let's be a part and let's get working. I would encourage everyone to get into some exercise. Because a healthy spiritual self-image is good, but not quite good enough. We would do good to exercise our spiritual bodies. So how do you exercise a church? We could come and start Sunday morning with calisthenics. That would be great in worship, right? Everyone, let's do jumping jacks. We could do there are some worship services that are calisthenic exercises. I don't know if you've been to any of them. They're fun. Oh man, they're a riot. We need to do them. How do you exercise a spiritual body? How do you exercise a church? Well, here's a few ideas. You can do your ministry. So you have a part to play. Do your part. Be involved. Get working at something. Your part may change with the season. That's okay. That's fine. I don't know. Sometimes we get too hung up on the idea of calling and that God has called me to this one thing and therefore I am stuck in this for the rest of my life. And nope, I can't help out in the nursery because I am called to be a greeter. And therefore, I can never, ever help out in that thing. No, get involved. Help out. Get working. Your part may change with the seasons, but be involved. Do your ministry. And I would say this, do what you can do too. Don't be someone else. You can learn from others, but not be them. You do what you do. You have gifts for you to use. And trying to copy somebody else is probably not healthy in the long run. It's probably not healthy in the long run. I have a lot of heroes that I have in the church world. I'm like, oh man, that person's awesome at that. And there are some folks in the church world I want to be like. You know, I want to be like this. But if I tried to be that guy, it wouldn't work. I can't be that guy. I can't be Derek. He's Derek. I just can't do it. You know, I can't be Adam. He's Adam. I can't do it. But I have a role to play, so I do it as me in God's part. I think this sometimes leads us, sometimes we get down on ourselves about this. I think, well, I can't, I can't teach like that person. I just can't do it. Well, no, you can't. Don't be that person. Do what you do. Do it your way. But follow the leading of the Lord and get involved in ministry in the church. Because what we are to do is we are to help others for the ministry. Our goal is to support the work of the head. So to encourage all of us, you know, the pastors, the teachers, the prophets, the evangelists, to equip God's people for works of service. The goal is that we work together so that we can do God's work. To train others, to encourage the body. Training is by the body and for the body. We can all learn, we can all encourage, and we are all to help others for ministry. So do the ministry, promote the kingdom of God, tell others about Jesus, encourage the weary, and those sorts of things. Oh, let's be a healthy body, encouraging one another in following Christ. So I challenge you to practice exercising today. And let me give some direction on this. As Americans, we go towards one thing. When we say that everyone has a role and a ministry and a part in the church, we start to think systems and titles and programs. You have a role in the church, and you think, well, okay, then I need to be, and we automatically think of a title. I need to be worship team. I need to be board member. I need to be a youth minister. We automatically think of a title. Can I encourage you? Let's start today, and I don't want you to think of titles. Not titles, people. Let's think people. Instead of starting a class, let's encourage a friend. Instead of starting a prayer meeting, let's grab someone and pray with them. Can we start there? It's a whole lot simpler. It's a whole lot simpler. Instead of thinking titles, think people. And I encourage you, let's be a healthy body and exercise. Exercise our ministry today. Everyone has a part to play. In encouragement, in prayer, in teaching, in physical work, in hospitality, everyone has a part to play somewhere. Yep. I'm going to pray together and we'll be done. But we're not, I'm going to leave it open, the challenge to you. No direction. If you are done and out of here, that's fine. But if you feel the Lord is saying, man, I need to pray for someone, you grab someone and pray for them. It's your work. If the Lord is telling you to do it, don't wait for me to make the space for it, you know. If the Lord is telling you that you need to encourage someone, grab them and do it. If the Lord is telling you to plan a study, hey, let's get together and work through this book, grab some folks and do it. Talk to me if you want. Maybe we'll use some of the church money to buy books and we'll do that. But it's open this. I'm going to pray and we'll be done. But follow the work of the Lord and be a healthy body and let's encourage and help out each other. Lord Jesus, I do pray for our church. I pray that we would be a healthy place, a place of life and growth and encouragement, a place where we can reach maturity in you, where we can continue to grow in you and follow you better, where we can take people along with us and see others around us grow in you, where we see your work done, where we see the ministry done, where we see the gifts and the power and your power working, where we see life, God. We pray that we would be a healthy church. And God, help each one of us, everyone here, to work towards that role, to play their part, to do their job, that we would all follow you together. We thank you, Lord, that we have a place to belong, that it is a privilege to be a part of your body. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Go encourage each other today.